Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Natalie.
We are celebrating our Berry Nation 1 year anniversary.
Pew, 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 pew. Little thingy. I need it.
Right? Fireworks in the back. If we had all the CGI, you would see a huge fireworks display behind us. The whole month of November, our support theme is connection, community, and celebration. Yes. Right? The big three C's are really what we have found have been the most powerful, I guess, elements of our bariatric journey, right? Without community, without celebration, without connection, we wouldn't be where we are today. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to take a month, if you will, to talk about what these things have meant to us. And really, I think how they have maybe shifted, or how the definition of change, or just how they look in our lives have changed since surgery, but really since we went from East to West WLS to Berry Nation. That was a huge shift. So I say we just dive in. Let's just do it. Hi friends, it's April. We are so excited to officially announce that ProCare Health is the official vitamin of Berry Nation. We were introduced to ProCare Health at the first Bariatric Society retreat in San Diego, and we have all fallen in love with our product and with the people behind the company. Jason, Natalie, and I have all made the switch to ProCare Health daily bariatric multivitamins, and we are seeing huge results. We invite you to check out ProCare Health by visiting them online at www.procarenow.com and use the code BERRYNATION for 10% off your order. And you guys, this even applies to vitamin subscription services. So if you want your vitamins delivered every month or every 90 days, that 10% off is going to apply to that subscription. See what I mean about patient forward, patient centered? ProCare is amazing, and we are so excited to be partnered with them. Welcome to the Berry Nation family, ProCare Health. All right, friends. So on November 4th, it will officially be 1 year since we have made the switch from East West to Berry Nation. So now when Jason and I first met, we did not know you.
Nope. Sure didn't.
I remember the very first time that I met you, Jason. Well, I mean, most people know this. I thought you were a Russian troll and I kept kicking you out of the Zoom.
Story, honestly.
Poor little 2 week post-op Jason didn't know anything.
Poor little 2 week Jason. I was like, nope, Russian troll. Goodbye.
Because men pounds, don't have pounds, little baby Jason.
Because men don't have bariatric surgery. That was insane at the time. Insane. So we haven't talked about any of this, you guys. So all of these questions that we're going to ask each other are completely candid.
Yes.
Do you remember, Jason, what was the first thing that you kind of remember thinking when you maybe got into the VBM or after? Do you remember?
I thought initially that you had been doing that for years because it was so well put together and like all of it was so polished. Like I was like, oh shit. I was like, this is real. I was like, this is awesome. Well, because like at the time I was only doing Facebook stuff. So I didn't even know Instagram. Like I had an Instagram, but you guys knew I had 5 pictures on it and they were my kids from like way long ago. Like my kids were way older than those pictures were on Instagram. I just didn't ever go over on Instagram because I had my other podcast shows and stuff I was doing on Facebook. I had a big following on Facebook. I could go live over there and have, 100 people watching what I'm doing. So it was very strange to me when people were like, well, there's this stuff on Instagram. And I was like, okay. And that was one of the first things I just happened across was the link to the VBM. And I was like, oh, I was like, information. I need information because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So let's try that. And so when I got in, I remember thinking how cool it was that there was so much information there and so many people seemed to know, but nobody was talking except for you. And so when I had a question, I was like, I don't know if we're supposed to do this. I just ask a question or I talk about my experience or whatever it was. And I remember when you were like, hey, can you stay after we finished? And you were like, hey, stay behind for a minute. I'm like, oh shit, I'm in trouble. I was like, I talked too much. I did that. Because I remember the first thing I said to you was, I apologize if I feel like I took the meeting over or dominated the meeting. I was like, I'm just so new. I've got a ton of questions. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And you were really nice, very sweet to let me know that I was not doing that at all, that I wasn't in trouble. So I could breathe a sigh of relief. Like, it was good for me because I thought, I was like, shit, I just got in finally, and now she's going to boot me out for real. So yeah, I had no idea.
No, I just remember I was thrilled because like you wanted to interact. And it was the time when like Zoom was so new for so many people. You know, I had worked in online public education for the last decade, and to not have people interact over Zoom was so foreign to me. And I just felt like, oh my God, these are not successful. People aren't engaging. They're not connecting with one another. Like, what is the deal? So I remember I wanted you to stay after so I could thank you for being like an active participant in the VBM. Yeah. So.
Oh man.
Yeah, right? I thought I was done for. And it's funny because I was sitting in the same chair that I do most of my stories for Brandon Agent for now. I was sitting in the same chair on the porch because I couldn't do anything. I'm like, Jordan and my wife are out there doing yard work and like picking up limbs and moving stuff. And I'm just having to just sit there. And I was like, well, I guess I'll do this class because I forgot it's time. And so I just jumped into there while they're doing all this stuff. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, I'm in a class. It's fine. Like, don't worry about it. Like in the whole thing. So yeah, I was just excited to be there and see other people that I could connect with because yeah, I didn't know anything.
Yeah. Well, and the whole reason I started it, right, was the world shut down with COVID. I had moved. I wasn't close to my, you know, surgical center. I was desperate for support. I knew one other person who'd been through surgery and I felt like I was harassing her constantly because I was asking her, you know, 50,000 questions a day. And then I started following people on Instagram, but I very quickly realized that it was just kind of a big mess of information. And half the stuff that I saw on Instagram and most of the stuff that I saw on Facebook directly contradicted what my surgeon had told me. Mm-hmm. And I just felt so lost, very alone. And it just dawned on me that what I did in my classroom, I could maybe do, you know, online. And when I started reaching out to experts, you know, some of them initially were like, no, like that's no, we don't do that at all. And I'm like, but it's just information. Like you're an expert, you're licensed. Like all we would just be having a conversation about XYZ. And after, you know, I had the first few, then getting experts to join was not a big deal because they saw the value in that connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I remember because I thought when I had the surgery, I remember 9 other people at my office had had it. So I would attend one. So for me, I thought, oh, this will be cake. I'll go to work and I'll have all the support I need because I can ask them a ton of questions I already have. So when I'm going through the motions, it'll be fine. 2 weeks post, I'll tell like everybody go home because of COVID. And now, you know, you work from home now. And I'm like, well, shit. I'm like, I don't have. And that's where I locked up because I was like, I don't have all my people I thought I had. Like everybody's at home now and we can't call each other and talk about it because the way the phones and all this are set up. So I was just like, oh, damn. And then that's luckily I just happened across that link and jumped in because, yeah, I don't know where I would be without that.
Hey, this is April. I am more than 3 years post-op and I'm just getting to the place where I can really onboard quality nutritional information. I just didn't have the capacity before, but man, I've been working with Sarah at Team Fit With Me for the last month. I cannot believe how much I'm learning about eating and nutrition that is specifically targeted for our bariatric life. Reach out to her today and get 10% off your first month with her. You can find her online at teamfitwithme.com or on Instagram at SarahF_fitwithme.
It was a very isolating time, right? Which is why connection and community is so important, right? Most of us don't know somebody who has been through this journey. And if we do, it's one or two people. And right, we know that the success rates are not great. So some of the people that we know that have been through bariatric surgery have not been successful. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to necessarily go to them because you don't want them to feel bad or, you know, like who knows what. So you know, very quickly after surgery, I think a lot of us can find ourselves in this sea of despair and just not knowing where to turn. And it's critically important, as the three of us have, as hundreds, thousands of us have figured out, right? It really takes community and a connection within a community to find, right, to find that success.
Absolutely.
Well, and I just remember after meeting you for the first time, I told my husband, I was like, oh, like some dude came to the VBM. He was like, oh, well, that's kind of weird. And I was like, well, yeah, but we actually talked a lot. We got along really well. Like, it, you know, it was cool. And then I think we friended each other on Instagram and we started talking that way. And I remember you kept coming to the VBMs. And then you and I were lamenting after one of those sessions that there was no patient-centered podcast and it was all doctors that had never been through it, right? And it was just like, oh my God, why is there no patient voice? And when you said that you had experienced podcasting, I was like, oh, okay, if you know how to do that, I can handle the back end stuff, right? And everything will be great. And if you've been following or listening to us for a long time, you guys know I'm very analytical, I'm very planned, I'm very like show notes for everything, right? Like, and Jason just absolutely flies off cuff, like no yeah. preparation, right? So you know me, like I spent hours making show notes for our first couple of episodes. I send them to him and I, yeah, Nat. So like, you know, I'm like, oh, Jason, like add your answers in here. And what do you want to do? What do you want to talk about here? Blah, blah, blah. And we got to the first day that we were recording and I was like, Jason, I didn't see you didn't like even open the show notes, let alone write anything in. Like, what the hell? I could have killed him.
Hugh April's blood pressure is spiking.
Oh yeah, no, because she was ready to scrap the whole thing because we were going to record that day. And she was like, no, she's like, we can't do this if you haven't read any of this. And I was like, well, actually we can. I was like, because if I was to read it when I get on here, that's all you're going to hear. So this is Jason, welcome to the Bear Nation podcast. And I was like, you don't want that. I was like, so just let me do what I do. I was like, I promise you. I was like, it's not gonna, like, I promise it's not gonna go bad. She begrudgingly trusted me for what? Because I told her, I was like, hey, look, like worst case scenario, we do an episode, we just don't air it. Like if you just delete it, do it over again, like you can do it yourself. I was like, I will still help you with all the back end stuff, to how to do it all. I was like, you don't have to do it my way. I was like, but you know, let me see what I can do. Give me one. She gave me one, still didn't trust it. So we did two more. And then she still wasn't like, she didn't like fully trust it, but she let me keep going the way I do. So, and here we are today.
Right. It was a wild ride. And I have to say, you know, shout out to our spouses, because when your spouse comes to you and it's like, hey, I met a random internet friend who's also had bariatric surgery, and now we want to start a podcast together, so we're going to be talking all the time on Zoom. Are you cool with that? Right?
Zoom dates.
Zoom dates. It was basically Zoom dates. But both Sarah and Grady were so, I mean, remain, you know, steadfast and supportive. And you and I, Jason, we've also done a really good job of being very transparent and crystal clear with our spouses. And they have met each other many times and they're best friends forever now. But you know what I mean? Like, but that was a bit of a, like, oh, you're doing what? With who?
Yeah, well, yeah, because I mean, anytime you hear, you know, your spouse talking to an opposite sex voice, and you're like, what the hell's going on here? Like, what is this?
Right?
Especially for like 3 hours, because we talked for, I mean, 3-4 hours without even recording shit. Like, we didn't record anything. We were just talking about everything we could record and how it would go and what it would be. Like, we had several meetings that were multiple hours long that basically we're just us shooting the shit. So when you think about that from a spouse perspective, you're kind of like, what's going on here? And you're like, no, everything's all good, I promise, like we're all okay.
Well, and we all know that, like, you know, when we make these new bariatric friendships, you very quickly get very deep. I mean, I can remember talking to things with you, Jason, and you, not now, of course. And you're like, I'm always like, I haven't told Grady this. Like, this is too much of like an intimate conversation for my husband, but I need to deep dive it with you guys because.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. And it's this whole other like weird universe that you live in. But I just remember very soon after meeting you, Jason, and you too, Nat. I mean, obviously you and I talked for like 3 hours the first time we ever spoke. But you just so instantly can get very deep and get down to kind of the meat of it. And I just remember thinking like, oh, I really know him, which was so weird because we didn't meet until the first bariatric retreat in Sandy, like physically meet.
It was, yeah, it was over a year and a half. Over a year and a half before we actually physically met each other.
Yes. I can remember. Do you remember that? You and I, were you and I sharing a room?
Yeah. No, we weren't sharing a room. But
no. We traveled down there.
Oh, yeah. I remember, like, we were like, okay, we're going to meet at this spot at sunset, and I'm going to get on Zoom. And I was like, Jason, you stay there. And I hadn't even met Jason yet either.
No, we had to text each other to make sure we weren't going to cross paths because our rooms were like all lined up together. And we're like, no, you go here. No, I'm going to stay here. Like we had to like go into the room, like carrying our shit. Like, oh God, no.
Yeah, it was like a bush at some point. Like
it was like bride and groom on a wedding day. But I can remember telling you now. Remember, I was like, I am so nervous to meet him. I was like, what happens if we meet in person and I hate him? Or like, what happens if we don't like jive?
Girl, you're crazy. Like that was the first time I've ever seen April like nervous ever. Yeah. And she looks at me dead in the eyes and just goes, what if he's not Jason? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you're being dumb.
what else can he be?
We've literally like Zoomed, FaceTime, like, what do you mean he's Jason? Like, it'll be fine.
Yeah, spoiler alert, it was totally fine. Yeah, I think that's like one of our most watched videos of all times is you and I hugging for the first time.
Yeah. All blurry and
horrible. Oh God. Well, hey, it was expertly shot. Okay.
Yeah, we'll take what we can get given the moment that it was. So.
Oh God. But you know, that honestly, when I really think about it, that's the last time I've ever been nervous to meet anyone in our community. Cause you were kind of the first one. And it was like, okay, well, if Jason is who he appears, if he's legit, so is everybody else.
Yeah.
So is everybody else. You know, I think I met Steph and Nat even actually before I met you, Jason. And I was a little bit nervous to meet you two in person. But I mean, I don't know. It was just different. Some about you freaked me out. I don't know why. But
because there was a lot of potential for things to go badly. So
yeah, there was a lot riding on that. Jesus. Well, and then I can remember when we first met Nat on Instagram. You and I both found her profile separately. And you and I texted and were like, hey, I think we need to invite this girl onto the podcast. And we're like, oh, like we didn't know that we were each like headhunting you basically. So when we were talking on text or Instagram.
Yeah.
And that was when I really like to, you know, talk with our guests extensively before a podcast episode. We don't necessarily do that anymore, but whatever. I called you on the phone. I was like, hey, I'm going to call you.
Yep.
Like, I know it's going to be weird, but I'm just going to call you. I just want to touch base. I'm going to go through a rundown of what we do, blah, blah, blah. And we talked for like 4 fucking hours. Yeah.
It was like 10 PM when we got off the phone. And I was like, so should I, cause I was still pretty new. Like I was very newly post-op and I was just like, so I feel like all of this should be on the podcast. Like I just gently was like, should we be recording this? Like, because yeah, I mean, we delved right in to like
it was instantaneous.
And that was my first person to ever say they connected with anything that I had said on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting in my living room, Sarah was on the couch. And I was like, I listened to it and I was like, oh shit. And so I was like, what's wrong? And I was like, come here, listen to this. And I played it for it. And I was just like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm actually reaching people. Like we're reaching out. Like we're actually making connections with people. Like this is crazy. Cause nobody had ever said anything like that to me before. So it was crazy to know that that was what had happened. Like that I'd actually made a connection with somebody. And like at that point, it was like, sex didn't matter, age didn't matter, you know, era, like none of that mattered. It all washed away because you're obviously, you know, a female, you're way younger than I am. So like all of that, all those barriers just kind of blew away for me. So because if I can connect with you, I can connect with anyone because, you know, I shouldn't be, you know, somebody of my, I just shouldn't be connecting in that way. In my mind, originally, I was just like, well, I can't reach everybody. But apparently, you know, after speaking with you, I kind of blew all that away. I was like, well, apparently I can reach as many people as I want. Like, there are no barriers there.
Mm-mm, no. And I remember it was an episode with you guys and Wendy, a bariatric therapist or psychiatrist, I can't remember, but and yeah, that was when, you know, again, I had just moved back home after having surgery. I was alone for the first time since having surgery. And I remember being like, okay, I gotta like continue the routines that I had, you know, before, which was walking and listening to podcasts. And so I was just doing that. And yeah, it was just something that you had said. And I remember like walking and like physically pausing the podcast to actually just like think about it. Like, and that never happened before. And so then when like you both reached out to me to record, I was like, well, yeah, I'd love to, you know, have this kind of a conversation, because I've never had this kind of a conversation with anyone about bariatric surgery. That was a foreign thing. For me, it was something that you hid from people. Like, that's just what it was my whole life. So to have someone, to have two people that I could sit and have a candid, honest conversation with, that was invaluable to me as a patient.
Well, we Jason and I figured out the power of that, because we were having these really, you know, intimate conversations, just he and I as friends about our journey. And that was really where I think the power, maybe that we need a 4C conversation, right? Because it is, it's we always talk about these simple conversations that we have with other patients, either people who we've just met, people that we've known forever. No matter where they're at along their journey, if you connect with another bariatric patient and they're willing to open up just a little bit and have that conversation to connect on a level that, you know, just that just hits a little bit deeper, the connections that you can make, the community that you can build is unlike anything else that I have ever experienced. It's yeah. it's just such a feeling of belonging that I think so many of us for so many years were looking for. We just didn't know where to look for it. We weren't looking with the right people, and we weren't in the place, I think, to accept that type of community into our lives, because we didn't believe we were worthy of it.
Right. Well, and there's just something about making those connections, like you had said, when you and I connected and us and Nat connected so deeply, so quickly, you realize that those people don't have to be in your daily life. You don't have to see them every day. You don't have to even have seen them in person ever for them to root you on in a way that normal people that have been in your life your whole life may not be able to do. Mm-hmm. We've talked to so many countless number of people that have zero support in their everyday life, but they're superstars on Instagram. Like, they've got a whole community rallying behind them. And that's amazing. Like, that's why we always, you know, like Laura says, community is treatment. But it's true, because if you have a whole community of people behind you, and I don't care if you have 50 followers, guess what? That's 50 people lifting you up and helping, you know, you motivate through your journey. Like, 50 people, that's a lot of people. If you think about it, like, if you were in a room with 50 people, like, people always want to say, well, I don't have that many followers. Well, 50 people is a lot. Like, yeah. It may not be 500,000, but guess what? You couldn't talk to 500,000 people if you had 2 months to do it. So if you have a deeper, true connection with those 50 people, embrace it, enrich it, enjoy it, help grow those, you know, relationships, because that connection is going to be strong as hell. Like, how many people have we met in person at these events who have wanted to meet us for so long, because that's what we've had that relationship with these people for, you know, for years. And all of a sudden they finally get a chance to meet us in person, and it doesn't change anything. Like, it's just that much deeper because now we've met and they see that we're real people.
Absolutely. I think that's the other thing, you know, to celebrate in this last year, you know, just being Berry Nation for a year, I have met hundreds of people that I would never, ever, ever in a million years be able to meet. And you said it, Jason, like the connections. I mean, I remember every single face that I have met. Like, I may blank on your name because I am not very good at names, but I remember your face and I remember our conversation. And I will, if I see you in person again, I will ask you how that thing went that you were telling me about that you were so nervous about, whether it's your surgery, your, you know, 1 year, whatever it is that you were telling me about, like, I remember it. Mm-hmm. And that is a very surreal feeling to have, to know that I have this many connections across, I was going to say across the nation, but really across the globe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 When you meet people that come from Australia and say they were super excited to be there in that place to meet you, and the same thing with London, and the same thing, you know, we have legitimately people around the world that listen. And it really is, to sit back and say that, like, it seems like unreal. Like when April and I first sat down to talk about this, we never ever in a million years thought that we would be a global entity in that way. But that just shows the power of these connections that we're talking about and how important those are. Like, that there may be people in other countries, I don't know how exactly it gets translated to certain people, but there are people that need community so bad, like, they're reaching out and we're connecting with those people. And to think that we are able to have that impact on people, it's a whole different feeling.
Community is universal. People are seeking the connection. They're seeking community, especially when you go through something as deeply changing as bariatric surgery is.
Yeah.
You just know your cells are telling you, you need a community to help you get through. And I know that we've had many conversations with people who have a difficult time connecting with people, right? They say, I've tried to reach out, I've tried to connect, I've tried doing this, and I've tried doing that. And, you know, I think we have to recognize that making connections with other people is just difficult for some people, right? It's just harder sometimes than not. And the only thing that I can say is just keep trying, keep connecting, keep reaching out, keep going to the events, keep having conversations, because when you do find the person or people who you connect with, it is a very easy friendship. It's a very easy connection, right? Sometimes when you meet somebody, it just doesn't work, right? There's just a lot of friction. And I have met tons of people who I would have loved to have been closer friends with, but the connection wasn't there on their end. It's nothing wrong with me. It's just that connection, that relationship, it just was too much work. There was too much friction there. And that might be the case with some of the, you know, connections that you're trying to make within this community. And all that I can say, and I know that, you know, we talk about this all the time, go with the connections that are easy, go with the connections that flow. You're not going to connect with every single person in the community, but there are people out there who are very excited to connect with you. I can tell you that for sure.
I would also say, give people second chances too. Like, I remember at the first bariatric retreat, I mean, that was like my first time ever meeting, I mean, like, people who inspired me on my journey, like people who got me to my surgery, like big stuff, all the stuff that, like, we have all experienced if you've gone to these events. And I was not myself because I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed because I was meeting people that inspired me. But also I was overwhelmed because I was that person for other people. So it was like, it was coming at me from two sides. And I remember, like, reflecting on my flight back home and being like, you were not yourself in that moment. It's okay that you, like, weren't yourself, but also, like, let's do some reflection and, like, work on ourselves. I've since met some people again that have been at those events, and I'm like, oh, okay, no, they're real people. Like, let's try this again. And now they're some of my best friends, you know? So I would also not, you know, take it to heart. I know how easy it is for us, for folks like us, to do because of things in our past that have happened to us. But yeah, I would say also just like give people some extra chances here, because we're all trying to navigate new confidence and, you know, all these new relationships. You know, I have a lot of like acquaintance friends, but I've never had so many friends.
Yeah. For a lot of people in those events, when they show up, it can be overwhelming, because for some of those people, it's their first time being at an event, meeting anybody. Like, there's the first time being out post COVID or post surgery or post, you know, whatever. Like, there's a lot of reasons why it can be people's first times and they could be overwhelmed. But, you know, the hardest part is out of the way. You already have a connection with the people that you're in the room with. So you've already got an icebreaker. You can already say, you know, what type of surgery you have? When was your surgery date? My surgery date was this. So there's always something to build on to kind of get that first awkwardness out of the way. And what I've seen a lot of people doing that has really helped them in that time is, like, you'll see a group of people talking, just pull up to that group of people and wait for your, like, there'll be, it's like double dutch. There's a chance for you to jump in somewhere and you can jump in and add your 2 cents, whatever it may be. But, you know, the beauty of those events is everybody's there to show support for everyone, because we all know what it's like to feel left out. We all know what it's like to be picked last or not to be picked at all. And nobody wants that feeling now that we have our second chance at this, you know, at the merry-go-round. So just, you know, like Nat said, give people the second chances, but most importantly, show up, go to these things for yourself. Like, if for no other reason than just to go for yourself, because I promise you, you will go to these things and you will leave much different. Like, your outlook on things are going to be way different. You're almost going to feel like you're supercharged when you leave there, because you're going to have all the emotions flowing through you. You're going to have the hope. You're going to have the pride for, you know, how far you've gotten. It's just, it's a connection on a level that really can't be explained until you've gone there.
Well, we see this in the Berry Nation membership community, right? First time members are so scared and worried to click into that first support group with a therapist, or the first class with a dietitian, right? Or the meetup, right? And every single time that event ends, these new members stick around and they go, oh my God, I don't know what I was so scared about. This has been the most amazing experience.
And they don't want to leave, like, which is wonderful. Like,
yes,
that's all I could ever ask for, is having to like kick people out of meetings because they don't want to leave. But it's that feeling, whether it's a virtual meetup, whether it's a virtual class in the Berry Nation membership, whether it's an in-person meetup, like, you get to the end and you're like, but I just don't want to leave.
Yeah.
Because that is home. It's home now. Like, and that, I think, is something to just, A, be so grateful for, but also to celebrate that, like, we, Berry Nation, but also we, the community, have created such a community where people don't want to leave.
Yeah, no. Well, and we've kind of danced around it without saying it, but for so long, I know, as an obese person, I was pretty out there. But there were big facets of my life that I chose not to showcase at all, because I was worried about how they would be perceived from coming from me, an obese person. So while I might have appeared confident on some levels, I was not confident like I am now. And growing into that confidence is a part of this journey. And every time you interact with people within the community, either in person or virtually, you get a little piece of your confidence back, or you just feel like you have the space finally to be the person who you always wanted to be. And the other thing that I really have to pride our community on, it's like all of these C words, but one of the most powerful experiences that I've had has actually been with you, Nat. There's been a couple times where I've done something or said something and you call me out on it. Mm-hmm. In such a loving and kind way, but you'll just be like, I need to talk to you about this. When you said, did this, I felt XYZ. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. And I was like, oh my God, like, but you don't know that unless you get called out, because sometimes that's what it takes to ensure that our community operates on a level that is kind and caring for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, and it goes both ways too, because there are times where you've also been like, why do you say that? Like, oh, that's interesting. Like, why do you feel that way? Or, and it's like, you have to just check each other. Well, you don't have to, but you feel this like confidence in yourself to also say, oh, I recognize what that is because I also went through it. So we're going to work on this because this is holding you back from whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. Yeah. And that's really special. Like, there's no relationship I have otherwise that can do that.
No. And I mean, that's the beauty of the relationship that we've all forged with each other, is that we are a family unit, and we do call each other out. We support each other, but we also hold each other accountable with the same vigor that we support each other, because that's what we recognize, that's what we have to do, because we're three strong personalities in our own right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to keep that under one umbrella and lift each other up at the same time as holding each other accountable and checking each other whenever we're not, you know, at 100, that's honestly, like, I think that's the only way that we've been able to keep this working at the level we've been able to keep it working for so long, is because we are brutally honest with each other. We don't hold anything back. We don't pull punches. We don't do any of that. And it's strictly for the love that we feel for each other because of the relationship that we've crafted. And none of that would have been possible without the surgeries that we went through.
Yeah, no, it really is a community unlike any other that I have ever been a part of. You know, it's like the community has this built-in system to check itself, but to create spaces for people to kind of try on their confidence, right? For people to just kind of experiment with themselves and who they want to become. If you don't have that space, and if you don't have these connections with people, it can be a little bit difficult to kind of, you know, understand who you are becoming. Even though I still believe surgery didn't change me, the core me did not change it whatsoever. But what has changed is my ability to showcase more facets of myself and of my personality. So from the outside, it could look like I have changed from an outsider's perspective, but internally it's like, this has always been here. This has absolutely always been here. Right. And that passage that I'm reading in the book right now, I did a little live in Berry Nation today, right? About like, sometimes we outgrow our spaces. Mm-hmm. And it's such an interesting concept that while my physical space has gotten smaller, I've outgrown it. Mm-hmm. Right. So as I'm physically getting smaller, I'm actually getting bigger. And it's such a weird dichotomy that you just don't understand until you're there. And if you haven't been through this, you just don't know it, which goes back to the importance of having a community and being involved with that community. So you can go to these people and go, does this make sense? Am I crazy? Like, what is happening in my world right now? And to have, you know, 10,000 people go, nope, totally normal.
It's and amazing. It's like our community is kind of like a testing ground, mm-hmm. to be like, okay, I'm going to try this out because this is a safe space and I'm not going to get like checked in a mean way. So it's like, you're dipping your toe in. You're like, I'm feeling more confident about this thing. Oh, it was well received. Great. Now I'm going to do it in the rest of my like life. Yes. Because I didn't get checked as bad, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the coolest thing for me is to watch and that for you, it's just been monumental for me to watch you in the way that as we shrink, you know, post-op, our confidence grows, our voice gets louder, what we will accept as standard treatment changes, all of these things. And we blossom into people that we just weren't before, or even if like we longed to be before, but just didn't have, you know, the voice to say it, or didn't have the, you know, we never thought enough of ourselves to stand up and say, hey, this shit's not going to fly. So watching you over the years come into your own and get that voice and gain that confidence and do those things, like make those changes, the growth that you have been able to obtain as you were shrinking smaller has just been amazing to me. So it probably sounds like a broken record when I put this on most of your posts, but that's legit how I feel. Like, it's so awesome to see, because you echo voices of so many in the community that realize that, oh, I don't appreciate this out of this group of people, or I don't like that, you know, I'm just now finally, the fog is lifted and I started to see XYZ, whatever that may be. I don't like the way my job treats me. I don't like the way, you know, shit at home goes. I don't like the way my certain friend group is going. And to see people gain the confidence to stand up and say, not only am I not going to take it anymore, but I'm going to move on to something better that's waiting for me. Yeah. You know, like, we would never have dreamed of doing that before. And the fact that I've seen people do that now, it swells my heart just to something I can't even really explain it, just because, you know, you can't help, which I always think it feels weird to tell somebody you don't know that you're proud of them for something. But I continue to say that shit to people because I do, like, I feel I'm proud for them, because I may not know you in your personal life. We may not have met, you know, in person, but I'm still proud of the person that you're becoming to stand up and say, I don't appreciate this and I want better for myself, because I know there's been a time for all of us where we didn't feel like we deserved any better and we just settled for whatever that was.
Absolutely. There was a huge, when I had my surgery, that was like a big turning point for me, because my grandma had just passed away, and that was like a chapter of my life, you know, as, you know, death, that it happens, it closes chapters. But there were a lot of years where I would just do whatever because my family asked me to, because it was the right thing to do, whatever it was. And I flat out told my family, I am not just going, I did it for my grandma, but that ended. She is passed. I have done what I need to do. I'm not just doing things now because it's the right thing to do. Like, you know, whatever. Very recently, something came up and I said, no, I'm actually really exhausted. I'm not going to be doing whatever that thing is, because I need to rest. And that's just what I need to do. And my mom was like, oh, okay. Like, what are you going to say to me? Like, no, you can't rest because you're not tired enough.
Yeah. You're going to be tireder. You're going to be more tired when you're done helping me. Like, no, nobody's going to say that.
Yeah. But it's like, after I said that and you know, her reaction, I was kind of like, and I was like, felt very proud of myself as I like walked into my bedroom to go fall asleep, because I didn't do that before. I was just like, oh yeah, I guess I have to do it.
Well, it's a huge realization when you figure out the world's not going to crumble. You're not going to lose your relationship with your mom because you didn't help her. More than likely, you're not going to, if you lose a relationship with a friend because you didn't help them do something that's minuscule, they weren't your friend to begin with. Right. So cut that shit smooth out.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of goes back to the other part of this conversation, celebration, right? We are really able to celebrate not only in a different way, but we're able to celebrate different things. We're able to celebrate, right? Advocating for ourselves, shifting our mindset, all of these little, you know, NSVs, all of these little things that we never maybe would have recognized as a moment of celebration. It's almost like we have the capacity to celebrate them now. We can recognize them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before surgery, we couldn't. There was just, I couldn't, because before surgery, I had such a negative view of myself that even when really great things happened, and I accomplished a ton as a obese woman.
Yes.
All of us have accomplished amazing things as obese humans, yet we never were able to really celebrate those accomplishments as they should have been, because we felt so horrible about who we thought we were, right? Like, we let our weight and our size and our shape define so much about us that it took the celebration out of our life's accomplishments.
Yeah, we didn't deserve it. As big people, we didn't deserve it because, yeah, I may be great over here, but I still can't push myself away from the table because look at me. I still got to go buy special clothes. I still got to do this. So I'm not that great. If I was that great, I'd be small. I'd be a normal person if I was that great. You know, people think that shit. And, you know, we've all thought it at one point or another. Like, I know each of us sitting here today have thought it. And it really does just it. When you don't feel like there's anything that you not that you don't feel like something is worth celebrating, when you feel like you're not worth celebrating, that shit hits way harder than anything you could imagine. That's the lowest blow you could give to yourself.
I didn't even walk in my college graduation because I wasn't at my highest weight, but I was very heavy. And I just thought, there's no way I can get up on a stage. I'm going to have to get like a huge gown. It's going to make me look like a tent. Like, I was like, no, I'll just go and get my diploma. They can mail it to me, whatever. Like, I don't want to go. And I played it off to my mom, like, oh, it's fine. Like, I just don't want to, is what I kept saying. I just don't want to. It's okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, and I guess I mean, what you said, Jason, absolutely just is ringing like a bell right inside me, because every time I check something off the list of what I thought would finally bring me to the point where I could celebrate my accomplishments, it was always like, oh, well, but you could be doing X, Y, Z, or you could have this degree, or you could have the, I mean, I remember at one point I had my own consulting business. I was getting married. I was earning a master's degree in educational leadership and working full time.
Yep.
And still feeling like I was not enough because I was obese. That was the only thing that was holding that back. And I just kick myself for thinking that way. Now, again, Monday, we all Monday morning quarterback ourselves. So, you know, it's hard to think back to really, I guess, you know, rectify or justify just how difficult it was to celebrate all that I was. But the flip side to that is I sure did accomplish a lot, and I'm where I'm at today. And I know the things that I know, and I have, you know, I have people in my life, like I have my life because I went through that. But, you know, I wonder what difference it would have made had I just been able to get to a place where I could celebrate what I had done. But I think the weight was just never going to allow me to do that. That's one of the greatest gifts of bariatric surgery. It gave me the capacity to be myself, the capacity to celebrate, to acknowledge. Why I couldn't do it before, I don't know, but I can't keep beating myself up over the why. It is what it is. That is the past. I can't keep looking back. I have to just move forward, and I have to encourage others to seek out a life where they can celebrate everything that they are accomplishing.
Yeah. And just knowing that, I think I read like a quote or something where if you are looking back, you can't appreciate your future. Like, you're not seeing the view. And that has been really resonating with me lately. It's like, ugh, why am I looking back on like this dark abyss when I have like this beautiful view in front of me that I get to enjoy and explore for the rest of my life because of bariatric surgery?
Well, I just keep thinking, like, you know, if I was going to learn something from way back then, I would have already learned it by now. Like, I keep looking back and I'm looking for something that's just not there. And right. Why would I keep looking back when I have the ability to move forward? And I think a lot of people in our community struggle with that. I mean, it's normal. Like, that's kind of just what we do. But again, I think part of the celebration, the connections that we make in the community, and again, the community itself, the community is so bright and vibrant, it's really hard to look away, right? So you want to look forward to the community. The community can help you focus on the future and be in the present.
Yes.
Right? When all you're feeling like is, oh, there's something back there. There's not. It's just not. It's you are here. You are now. You've committed to a different life. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard, but we are here to support you. The community is here to support you, right? Through it all.
It's like buying something online and sending it to an address you don't live at anymore. Like, why would you do that? You don't live there anymore. We're not doing that. There's no reason to look back at stuff, because if you're post-op and you're trying to look back at something that was pre-op, there's not going to be anything there for you except for the heartache and misery that you enjoyed before you had surgery. And every day post-op, you are a different person than you were the day before.
Yep.
Whether it's better, whether, you know, whatever you choose, you're metabolically, biologically different than the day you were before. So why wouldn't your mental state be the exact same way? As your body physically changes, your mental needs to do the same. You need to bring yourself into the journey, appreciate every ounce, every inch, every pound, every day that you know your protein goal, your water goal, your vitamins, whatever it may be. Every single day, that needs to be, you don't have to throw a whole party and have a live and do a thing, but you need to sit with yourself and say, I did that. I checked those boxes today. Hell yeah. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Yeah. You really are a different person every flipping day.
Every day.
Yeah. When I say like every day is a new start, when everyone says every day is a new start, it literally is. I mean, like if you do skincare, you're sloughing off cells, you know, all of that. You're literally a new person every single day.
I'm like blown away, because someday, oh my God, but it is so true. And again, that's why the journey can be exhausting, because you're like, oh my God, why is this new? I just did this, but it's not. There's one thing that is different. There's one more aha. There's one more connection. There's one more way that you learn to celebrate. Right? That makes every day you pick up something new every single day.
And every day is not going to be a ticker tape parade situation. You're going to have bad days. Please understand, post-op is still, you're still going to have days that are going to feel like they're shit. However, this is where you really have to dig down deep and find something to celebrate.
Yep.
Yes, it's going to feel like everybody gets a trophy and we're playing soccer without a ball and all that bullshit, because we don't want to keep score to hurt anybody's feelings. However, it's not like that. This is, you know, you're finding one thing to feel accomplished about, because that's the fuel that's going to take you into tomorrow, so that tomorrow can be a better day than today was. And you're going to have to keep building your own stepping stones so that your ass don't fall into the water.
Yeah.
Right? That is so true. Every day. And like what we always share, right, publicly, there's no such thing as a bad bariatric patient. You're either living in compliance or out of compliance. You've made a decision that's aligned to your goals or not aligned to your goals. There's no good or bad within that. And there are some days where the only good that I can find is I had a sip of water. I took my vitamins, whatever, right? That's the one thing. But there are sure more good days than there are bad days now. And that is, it's one of the gifts. It's a gift of community. It's a gift of connection. It's a gift of celebration.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And this community, let me tell you, we celebrate hard.
Oh yeah, we've been celebrating. We love
celebrations.
We're getting real good at that. We're getting real good at that. Oh, good Lord. Well, my friends, so to wrap up this conversation, let's really think about what this year being Berry Nation has meant to us. Maybe is there like a word? Is there a feeling? Is there a moment that really is kind of settling, you know, in your souls as being like, wow, this is what this year has meant?
I would say for me, you know, when we transitioned to being Berry Nation, it felt like home. Like, this is just my place that I live at. But even though it's mostly virtual, it's just home. Like, it's just where I go. If I notice that I'm off track, I come back to Berry Nation. If I feel like I am lonely in my journey, I come to Berry Nation. Like, it's just home to me. And I think like a moment that really stands out to me, and I know Whitney is listening because she is wonderful and one of our very good friends. We were at the last retreat in Orlando, and, you know, last night, last hurrah, everyone's in the lobby. And I said, okay, Whitney, I gotta go to bed. Like, I am exhausted. It was like 2 a.m. I was done, depleted. And she looks at me and she straight up just says, no, because if you go, then it's over. And I remember looking at her and just being like, it's not over. Like, it will never be over because we've created this community and it's always with us. It's our home. So that's what really honed in for me this year.
Yeah. I feel that at my core. Yeah, Jason?
Mine is a word that I can use to describe it for me is comfort. Like, it's just, there's just a feeling of comfort that washes over me anytime that I'm around you guys, anytime that I'm in the community, anytime I'm talking to anybody about the community, when we're recording at all. Like, people are like, oh, don't you get nervous? Like, no, I don't. I feel so comfortable doing this because I'm with my people. I know you guys have me. No matter what happens at the end of the day, you guys, the community as a whole, if we needed anything, the community's got our back. And I know that 100%. I don't even ever question it. And as far as the moment goes, when we first started talking about making the switch to Berry Nation, I was petrified. I was so afraid because I was like, we've put so much time and effort, blood, sweat, and tears and love into East to West. What if people don't follow? Like, people are going to, maybe some people are going to understand the switch. They're not going to get it. It's not going to feel the same. I was so attached to the East to West, the color, everything, that I just didn't know that it was going to be okay. And you two took my hand. We're like, hey, quit being a bitch. Like, let's go. Quit being a baby. Like, let's do it. Like, it's going to be fine. It's cool. Like, this is the new era, new dawn, a new day. And I had to trust on faith that, like I said, you two had me, and we've been able to, in this last year, turn it into not only a place of comfort for myself, but for everybody else that's here with us. Mm-hmm. And that's really when I knew, it cemented in for me that we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing by not only the podcast, the community, the lives, the everything we do, but just going out and actually meeting people, putting our hands in their hands, putting, you know, spending time, sharing space. That's just, people understand those connections are genuine, and they know, they trust us to not only represent the community in a positive light, but have their back when they need it. And that, to me, you just can't put a price on.
Yeah.
No. There's a line from the book that I'm going to read. I was hoping I could get to share it, because Jason, this speaks directly to what you were just saying. I remember those conversations of you being petrified. And I just remember, right, Nat and I were like, bro, East to West is not going away. It's like the baby. And now we're learning to walk. Like, it's time that we grow. We've outgrown this. It's not that this is bad, but we've outgrown this. We are a nation of united bariatric patients. It's just different. So I read this quote last night at like 1 a.m., whatever, because you guys know I never sleep.
If you don't sleep, you're a fucking vampire.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I have such great skin. This quote, you're going to die. The dream in your heart may be bigger than the environment in which you find yourself.
Yeah.
The dream in our heart, which is what today is Berry Nation, could not fit in the East to West box. Wow. It just couldn't.
No.
So, you know, the thing that's really resonated with me this past year is, you know, nothing went to plan. Nothing, right? From the moment that we switched our name, there was hiccups and bumps. We got bruised, we crashed, we burned, we did everything. There were days and weeks where it was like, we are doing nothing right. And there are still days and weeks that I'm like, oh my God, how did I miss this? I love to beat myself up. It's like one of my favorite hobbies, which I'm getting better at. I'm getting much better at. And on those days and on those moments, of course, I go to you guys, right? And it's just like, oh, why? What am I doing? Like, what? And it's in those really quiet moments of kind of despair, to be honest, right? It's in those really quiet moments where it's just me. I have come to recognize there is this bright, burning desire inside me to create a community, a supportive network, a place for people like us to be. Every cell in my body tells me this is the direction of bariatric support. Yep. This is it. I was born to be of service. That's just who I am. I have this conversation all the time with my husband, and I know that not everybody is born this way, and that's a good thing, right? I'm called to teach. I'm called to learn and to pass that information on. I'm called to organize. I'm called to serve. That is just who I am. So when my purpose collided with this community, something happened. And even on the darkest of days, that flame still burns. It is like the eternal flame. Mm-hmm. And I would have never known that had we not had this last year together as Bari Nation. Yep. You know, it was there with East to West. And you, I mean, I've told you this in very personal, you guys have been there on some of my darkest days, probably the darkest days. And you know, it's just like, holy shit, you know, it's there. It is still there despite my efforts. You know, the self-sabotage, I understand what that is now. Self-sabotage is you attempting to put out that flame that lives deep at the deepest part inside of you. That's self-sabotage. But if you are connected with that flame, if that flame is truly what is your life's mission, your purpose, the reason that you are living, it's not going to be extinguished as long as you keep hold tight of that. And this year has really taught me that. And every single time I connect with somebody new in the community, somebody says, oh my God, that graphic was amazing. I listened to this story. I so enjoyed talking to you. Every time I have an opportunity to talk to somebody in the community, I learn something. Mm-hmm. And it just feeds that flame. It's like oxygen to that flame. And I just hope that everyone in our community gets in touch with that and finds the space, right? Finds the community, finds the connection to help feed that flame. And I really think that that's what we're doing for our community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's been a lot, but it's been one of the most glorious things I think I've ever done in my life.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, to go off of what you said, April, I'm also a person who loves to be of service. My degree is in teaching, but when I finally got there, I was like, this isn't it. This isn't the right fit. You know, so went to customer service. This doesn't feel right either. You know, it's like when I do this, when I, you know, work alongside you two, when we are creating in Bari Nation, I'm like, oh, no, this jacket fits. Like, this is like what I'm supposed to be. This is what I was always meant to do. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, I guess it's home, right? We've all found an internal home. Yep. That we are thrilled to live in. And our home is in this amazing community that is the bariatric community. You know, it all fits. When it fits, it fits. When it feels right, it's right. Like you said, when it's home, it's home. What an amazing ride. I can't believe it's only been a year.
Right.
It really does feel like it's been around for like a decade because yes. It's so flourishing. You know, our podcast has been so incredible. Just, you know, our listeners, those of you who follow us on Instagram, like, we have created such an awesome space, and it's because of you guys that are listening and watching and commenting and messaging us on Instagram and going to our lives. Like, this community is because of you guys ultimately. So yeah, it's been so cool. It's only been a year. So we have like so many years to go.
Oh man. A lifetime. Well, and we say it all the time. The best part of Berry Nation is you, the listeners, the friends, the followers, the members, the people. And it doesn't matter, even if you have never gone to a live event, even if you don't have a profile picture, even if your profile is private, it doesn't matter. You have reached out, you have said something, you've done something, you're part of the community. And that's, you are the best part of it. You are absolutely the best part of it.
Absolutely.
Well, as always, this conversation has left me mind blown and in a space of ultimate gratitude, and has given me the space to reflect. So thank you, friends.
Absolutely. This has been a great conversation. So fun to talk about.
I know.
Yeah.
And we do it. We should probably do it more often now that I think about it.
We probably should.
We definitely Weird. Should.
Weird. We don't like to talk about ourselves, but
I know.
We should probably like do it a little bit more.
No, it's my least favorite thing. It's my least favorite thing. You all know. I do everything I possibly can to not do that, but
you're getting better at that, though.
I'm getting better.
I'm growing. I like it.
I'm growing. I'm celebrating the fact that I'm being more open and honest and sharing.
Yes.
Maybe one day you'll be able to say that like people aren't pulling your fingernails out behind the camera.
Baby steps, Jason. Baby.
That's why I said maybe.
Let's celebrate my growth to this point and move on.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you to you both, because I wouldn't be where I am without you guys. Same way with us, with the community, same thing. So we love you guys. We thank you guys tremendously from the bottom of our hearts. We couldn't do any of this without you guys. And just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we will see you next time.
Bye, friends.
Bye, everybody.